Welcome to our church, Blessed Hope Bible Presbyterian Church's 4th annual family camp. Time flies. This is our 4th camp. The Lord is good. We thank God for the provision of this campsite for our spiritual retreat. We would want to fulfill this injunction that the Lord gave to us, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another so much the more as ye see the day approaching. The day is coming when the Lord shall return, and the things that is happening around the world point to us that we are living in those days where men would eat, drink, and be merry. Well, the people of God take time to understand and know the will of God, the plan of God, the blessing of God for them. The theme of our camp is the making of a spiritual man. The Word of God says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." We are here to explore and dig in deep into the Word of God so that we may know the things that God would have for us, the blessings, the wisdom, the encouragement, the strength that He wants to impart to us. And it is a great investment of time, is a great investment of energy to take ourselves out of the business of life for a time of reflection, a time of thought, time where we would consider in the stillness of the sanctuary of God to hear the voice of God speaking to us through the Word of God. And it is my prayer, the prayer of God's people here, that we would grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have 8 messages to speed us along this spiritual journey. And we see that God wants to make in us a spiritual man. And today, we would begin our first message to identify the spiritual man. Who he is. How can you spot him? There are certain spiritual characteristics that God has informed us through his word that we want to know. And we would zoom in from the basics to look at this man's profile. We are going to look at the words of Jesus, the man of God, God himself. to show us. And then there is the spiritual man's walk. He has a certain profile, he has a certain character, but how does he lift out that character of God that is in him? And we would be touching on a spiritual battle that goes on in the life of God's people. How we, there is that wrestling between the spirit and the flesh, right? This flesh that is in us is no good. And unless we are endued with the Spirit of God, right, we are not going to have victory in our spiritual life. And therefore, we want to ponder and consider this walk. And as we walk with God, as we endeavor to have the Spirit of God to fill us, to teach us, then you bear spiritual fruit. And the Lord wants us to see for ourselves, examine our own lives, right? From last year to this year, from year to year, how have we progressed? And the Lord showed us, right, that there are certain fruit that the Spirit would bear in the life of His people that we would be able to see and that we can cultivate, right, these aspects, right, so that the fruit would manifest itself in our lives. And then we also realize that we, as a spiritual man, live in a world that is in constant warfare. Spiritual warfare. You want to do the things of God, you want to walk with God, there is the enemy trying to distort you. And how can you protect yourself and wage this warfare victoriously? Well, this is what we are going to learn, and this is what we are going to see. And so the first message that we have is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, if you turn there to the Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We shall be reading from verse 9 all the way to chapter 3, verse 4. So that we may be able to understand that spiritual man. Verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man things which God had prepared for them that loved Him. But God had revealed unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the Spirit of man, which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them,
because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat. For hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Let us commit this time to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for this gathering of thy people for our fourth annual family camp. O Lord, we pray that thy spirit may come and fill us. Thy spirit may come and guide us as we seek to be the man that thou would want us to be. A spiritual man, a man filled with thy presence and living out the life of godliness that is in us. O Lord, I pray that thy spirit may come and fill and lead and guide us. May thy word illumine and grant to us understanding. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in the days prior to the return of Christ. And the scriptural advice for safety is that we put on godliness. And it is our spiritual goal to help us to attain to the perfect man. Verse 6 of our text says, how be it we speak wisdom among you, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. Our text tells us that the spiritual man is perfect. What do you mean by the word perfect? Well, he is complete. He is the man that God had made him to be. Complete. And the meaning of it is mature. And the Lord would want us to be that spiritual person. And how does he enable us to be that perfect, complete person? Well, he has given us a perfect Savior. Our Lord Jesus Christ died for us on the cross and washed away all our sins, and 3 days later rose again from the dead, victorious to free us from the bondage, the power of sin, the power of evil. Well, if you have thought about our past life, you know how we were deep in idolatry, how God delivered us by a great deliverance. And also, we have a perfect book, the Bible. God gives to us his perfect instruction, wisdom, so that we may be able to grow to be that complete man that he wants us to be. And it takes time to grow, and we have to keep at it. And this is what we are doing, gathering ourselves together. And not only do we have a perfect Savior, a perfect book, but also we have a perfect sanctifying Spirit of God. When you come to know God, well, you become a spiritual man. The Spirit of God dwells in you, and the Spirit of God directs you to know the will of God, how you can live your life. And so, the reference here to the spiritual man is the man that is yielded completely, fully trusting the Lord, knowing the will of God, and is obedient to it, and receiving the prosperity of his soul. Right. Paul described this spiritual man and its attainment. How can you reach that, to live that life that God has meant for you to live when he saved you? Well, 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 to 17, tells us that we have to take time to know the Word of God. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, God breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, and that's the word there, complete, mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And this is what the Lord wants us to be, so that we will be filled with the Spirit of God, the knowledge of God, and we go about doing good in a dying world. And how can we be energized to do all these things? Well, the Lord tells us that first we need to possess the wisdom of God. The possessing of the wisdom of God, verse 6 to 9, tells us, and Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. How the man of the world whom the Savior came to save was so blind as to crucify the Savior whose sole purpose was to save them. How ridiculous, isn't it? But for us whom God has opened our spiritual eyes to see the truth of the crucified Messiah, well, this is wisdom to us. This is wisdom for us. So he says in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, ears nor ears heard, neither have entered into the heart of man. Well, spiritual things are to be seen by the Spirit of God. Illumine us. The physical eyes cannot see beyond this three dimension. You need the Spirit of God to show you the things of the Spirit. Eye have not seen, ears have not heard, and neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. God showed us by his mercy the way to God, to be connected with our Creator. And this is the mystery of godliness. How can we attain to this godliness? As 1 Timothy 3:16 tells us, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into the glory. You see, how can we know God except he manifest himself to us? And indeed, God manifested himself to us when he sent his only begotten Son. This is the mystery of godliness. And we are going to study what Christ tells us concerning this godly life. What is true godliness? How can we know except God himself would reveal to us, right? And God indeed revealed himself to us through his Son, speaking as a man, yet fully God, instructing the people of God. And so we see that the spiritual man possesses the wisdom of God. And the spiritual man is taught by the Spirit of God. You realize that when you forsake your sins, when you repent of your sins, and when you call out to Jesus for salvation, the Spirit of God come and indwell you. And God will instruct you through his Spirit. You are taught by the Spirit of God that is living in you. Oh, these things are spiritual. Okay. So verse 10 of our text says, God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches things, all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him? Now he's giving an analogy. For even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. How can you know spiritual things except God would reveal it to us? And what is that agent in which revelation is given to us? It is the Holy Spirit. And, you know, in the last century, there is that overplay of the work of the Holy Spirit in the Christian church that de-link the Spirit of God with the Word of God, so much so that the people of God were stumbled, right, believing that the Spirit of God would work independent of God's Word. And so they says, I receive a revelation from God. And this is what God says to me. Every other day, someone would have a dream, someone would have a... But the Bible tells us that the wisdom of God is revealed to us in his Word. And the completion of the canon of Scripture seals the things that God would want to reveal to us. And so the things that God would reveal to us by his Spirit is always in tandem with the Spirit of God. So verse 10 is explained to us. For God had revealed them, right, this wisdom that God wants to give to us to live our lives, right, by his Spirit. And the Spirit of God will show us the excellencies, the treasures of a blessed life that God wants you to live. And so God's wisdom is known through the revelation made by the Holy Spirit. And what did the Holy Spirit do? Well, the Holy Spirit gave the word to the apostles to write the New Testament scriptures. That's why when Paul wrote this text here, the Bible was not completed yet. But the Bible will be completed. in another 40 years or so, the entire canon of scriptures would be completed when the book of Revelation was written. And so when you are possessed, or when the Spirit of God comes to fill you, the wisdom of God is taught to you. The psalmist David recalled how, as a young shepherd boy, after he was anointed by Samuel the prophet, the Spirit of God came upon him, and he came against Goliath at the battle with the Philistines. He can see light and darkness, truth and error. And David shared his experience that he saw the light, the truth, when he was bringing food for his brothers at the battlefront. He saw the grave danger of Israel, and he volunteered to fight Goliath. You remember? He said this, he heard these words said, and the Philistines said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." What is this fight? This fight is a spiritual battle between the evil one and the man of God. And this battle is raging profusely. In this last of the last days, God and the evil one, Satan, the devil, and all its demons. You need to understand the grammar. God has spoken to us through human languages, the wisdom that is of this world. By the same language, God has chosen to reveal spiritual things to us. And we are to study it grammatically, synthetically, historically, culturally, theological exegesis. How we need to go into the Word of God. And you know, studying the Word of God is hard work. Meditating upon the truth to know spiritual things is hard work. Would we take time to study those things? Because we are going to get disappointed. Because the things of this world, wood, hay, and stubble, will be burned away. And you will be disappointed. And you said, "No, my time has been wasted." Well, that is why we organize a camp like that, so that we may be reoriented to know the things that matters for eternity. And so, what is the purpose of God giving us His Spirit, that we possess the wisdom of God through the Word of God, is that we may be able to appraise things rightly for their true value. What is truly valuable? You would be able to see in perspective as a spiritual man. And you would pursue those things that would be truly valuable for you. The spiritual man possesses the Spirit of God. He appreciates God's truth. And the truth of God gives him spiritual discernment. He is able to appraise things as it is, as it should be, how God would see it. And that, at the end, is all that matters. Because we are living in a world we said Satan's world, the world that is governed by the prince of this world, and how does he govern this world? How does he receive your affection? By deception. And the first deception came when the evil one, the serpent, said to Adam and Eve, you eat of the fruit of the tree, from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will not surely die. But the word of God says, you shall surely die. To die, you shall die. And so the Lord wants us to see between life and death, light and darkness, nothing gray. And so that's where Paul says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judge of no man. What does it mean? Well, he knows the things of God and is able to appraise things rightly, correctly. If you have a spiritual mind, you would be able to appraise things according to what God would want you to understand. And that knowledge doesn't come easy. You have to seek it like hid treasure. Invest time. Paul said he counted everything but dung in order that he may gain the excellency of the knowledge that is in Christ Jesus his Lord. And that is something that, you know, we may not fully understand what Paul is saying. But this is what he wants us to be, the spiritual man, to appraise things correctly. You remember in the last year, we have been studying the words of Solomon. How Solomon was a man that was endued with the word of God. God gave him special wisdom. And he was able to tell us, right, after testing out the things of this world, right, to tell us that the things of this world doesn't help. Sore travail, vanity, vexation of spirit, crooked, wanting. And what is the consequence of it? Grief and sorrow. So he says, I gave my heart and searched out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. How this is sore travail. I have seen all the works that is done under the sun. All is vanity and vexation of spirit. That which is crooked, he says, cannot be made straight. That which is wanting cannot be numbered. The wisdom of this world is lacking. And he's telling you, don't run after it. You will be disappointed. And yet, you know, we don't seem to be able to see the deception over there. And we are running headlong to it. How can we be plucked out, be saved? Well, we need to possess the mind of Christ. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God has manifested himself in the flesh. God had walked on earth. And how all the words of God written in red in your Bible provide you the wisdom in order to live that life. And so the Lord wants us to see this spiritual man, how he possesses the wisdom of God, how he is taught by the Holy Spirit, how it is revealed through God's word, and he's able to appraise rightly all things, and he possesses the mind of Christ. And this is what the spiritual man is, right? According to God's definition. And then he tells us that there is, the spiritual man is not a natural, not the natural man, right? The man that does not know God. Right? Verse 14 of our text says, but the spirit, natural man receiveth not the spirit, the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Right? One pastor put it very well. He says, he does not have the equipment. You cannot smell music. Right? You need the ears to smell or to hear, right? With your sense of, with your nose, well, you cannot discern the things which God would want you to discern. Right? So we need, in order to come to know God, we need to come to know God, have our sins forgiven, so that we may possess that mind of God. How the wisdom of this world come to naught, the Bible says. The natural man is one who possesses this world's wisdom. And how his mind and his heart is lacking. How he had only the natural senses. Very sad, isn't it? But this is what it is when you are in your schools, when you are in your workplace, you would encounter this, right? Men who have no idea of spiritual things. And you feel sad that they don't see. But it is not surprising in the sense that before we are saved, I remember that before I was saved, I cannot see spiritual things. I cannot recognize that Jesus is God. But after, there is a difference, you see. And so here the Lord tells us that there is that difference between the spiritual man and the natural man. Right. He is limited by his natural senses. He is unable to value spiritual things. He does not have the Spirit of God in him. And then Paul tells us that the spiritual man is not the fleshly man. And I would not call this a third category. But if we are not living in the Spirit, we are allowing the flesh to take control of our lives, it will be a disaster. We may call ourselves a Christian, but if we are not living a life yielded to the Spirit of God, then we are as good as a natural man, isn't it? Paul calls it the carnal, in a sense that they are spiritual, I mean, in the sense that they have the Spirit of God in them, and yet they are not living out that life. So sad, isn't it? You come to the saving knowledge of God, and over time, there is no spiritual growth. Why that stifling? Why that stumbling? The Lord wants us to grow. And so Paul says that the man which is not filled with the Spirit of God is filled with the flesh. And he explains to us, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but unto carnal." He says, it's so sad, isn't it? He was speaking to the Corinthian church. Even as babes in Christ, he says that I have to feed you with milk, not with meat, because you cannot take the meat, because you are yet carnal. There is envying and strife and division among you. Are ye not carnal? And so, it's so important that we must let the Spirit of God fill us. And that is the purpose of a camp like that. So that we can take time to have spiritual orientation. Take time so that we may know how we can be filled with the Spirit of God. How can we overcome the flesh? In our fourth message, the walk, the spiritual man's walk. I'll be giving you a set of notes I would give you earlier so that you would take time to think. Right? There's a list of questions that you have to answer. So that you would be able to see those times where you're not living in the Spirit, you're living in the flesh. And when you're living in the flesh, you reap the consequences of the flesh, of carnality, which is disaster, isn't it? As good as a natural man, but, you know, you would be plucked, as it were, you know, out by the skin of your teeth to heaven. And yet, without rewards, without spiritual endowment. But God doesn't want us to go to heaven like that. He wants us to go there with filled, with the adorning of a spiritual man. I remember during our second camp, we were speaking about the New Jerusalem. How the New Jerusalem, the building of God, comes down from heaven. And how it's so beautiful. God created a new heaven and a new earth. And this New Jerusalem coming down, describing the people of God, sanctified, holy, reflecting the character, the attribute of God. And that is what it is, glorious. You know, and that is the life that God has for us, a glorious life when He remakes us in the future. And so the Lord wants us to see and understand this picture of a spiritual man, how he possesses the wisdom of God, how he's taught by the Holy Spirit through God's revealed word, and how he's able to appraise things rightly for their true value, and how he possesses the mind of Christ. And this is what we endeavor to do. We are going to turn to those pages of scriptures to show us how we can possess that mind. How important, isn't it? And we are going to carry it for a lifetime, you know. And the Lord wants us to grow. Not the spiritual man that possesses this world's empty wisdom. Man's mind, man's heart is lacking. Man's natural senses limited. Unable to value spiritual truth. Does not have the Holy Spirit. Nor does he want us to be a fleshly man, a carnal man. Spiritual babies feed on milk and not meat. Fleshly, he tells us. Plagued by envy and strife. And so in our worksheet, there would be all these various aspects of the carnal man that the Lord wants us to put off and put on the spiritual man. And so we have listed there about 45, 46, 48 spiritual characteristic and the contrary, the carnal man, the natural man, what it is. No, we don't want that. We don't want to live in that plane. We want to live to bear fruit for God. And this is what the Lord wants us to live. And this is the prayer that I have here for this camp, that we may all endeavor to be the spiritual man that God have wanted us to be. May the Lord help us. May the Lord bless us.
Father in heaven, we want to thank thee for this first section of our church camp. Lord, we pray that thy Spirit may continue to abide in us and help us as we think and meditate upon thy word, that you may help us to be the man that you have made us to be. This I ask and pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.